Our text this morning comes from John chapter 17. We're going to be reading in a moment verses 1 through 5. But before we do that, let me mention that our Lord and Savior, before going to the cruel cross of Calvary, was praying to God the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was praying for himself, verses 1 through 5. He was praying for the apostles, verses 6 through 19. And then our Lord and Savior was praying for all those who would obey the gospel, which would include us today if we've obeyed God's precious gospel, verses 20 through 26. And so this is truly one of the prayers of our Lord and Savior. So let's go to John 17 now and notice the first 5 verses. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Of course, Jesus existed before he became flesh as the second person of the Godhead, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1. And so truly, Jesus is God, and he is praying to God the Father, as you can see. And we want to ask the question this morning. As we saw there in verse 3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What does it mean to know God? And we'll begin our study to answer that question in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And a good way to remember that for our daily life is the initials PFE. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as of course we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth, that is, with a good attitude, a positive attitude, and according to the New Testament pattern. Now, I can assure you that you will receive a very warm welcome, so please join in with us when you have opportunity. Something else we want to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. Again, the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And the times of our service are given at the end of the program. Let's get into our study this morning. What does it mean to know God? As we look around the religious world today, we will notice many people make the claim, I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Some will say, I know the Lord. Well, does just saying the word, I know the Lord, I know God, does that make it so? Well, in John 8:19, then said they unto him, Where is thy father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my father. They didn't even know God the Father. If you had known me, you should have known my father also. Of course, God the Father sent Christ, whom they had rejected. But especially in Matthew 7:21, this is something we need to take note of. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So are we doing his will? It's one thing to say, I know the Lord. It's another to do the will of God, is it not? So, as we see, our study this morning is focused in on the question, what does it mean to know God? Well, number one, to know God requires knowledge. Well, what kind of knowledge? Well, knowledge of God's nature. Of course, we should understand that there's a creator since there's a creation, but we don't know anything about God's nature and his will without him giving us his revelation. So we need to have knowledge of God's nature, that God is eternal, God is just, God is holy, absolute holiness, and God is love, God is light, and so many other things we could mention, but this is dealing with God's nature. Now, in order to know his will, we've got to study his revelation to man, the Holy Scriptures, realizing, of course, we're under the law of Christ. So we're going to be using reason and logic to obtain the knowledge of God's nature and his will. Now, sad to say, some believe God has given them miraculous knowledge, and that is a direct operation by the Holy Spirit. Well, in the first century, the apostles had miraculous knowledge. The inspired writers, of course, were writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the apostles would lay on hands and pass on the 9 miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit during the first century, before the written revelation of God had been completed. But that's no longer happening today because we have the perfect revelation of God. Yes, and we need, of course, to have knowledge of God's written revelation. Now, others believe that one cannot gain knowledge of the truth, and therefore they're disagreeing with Jesus. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said to those disciples that believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So Jesus said we can know the truth, and of course it makes us free when we submit to it. Now, truth is knowledge, and this is knowledge which has been revealed from God, and it can be understood, or else God would be unjust to hold us accountable to his revealed will. Look at Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now that's me. What about you? Yes, we can be made wise even though we may be simple. Now, how is knowledge of the truth obtained? Of course, John 6:44-45, Jesus will give us the answer. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Christianity is a taught religion. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way, and it's through Christ. And we better have knowledge from the Scriptures about Jesus Christ and His gospel, about His church that we need to be a member of and serving faithfully every day. Knowledge of the truth is revealed by the written revelation of God. Therefore, this knowledge is obtained by hearing and studying the Word of God. Romans 10:17, we quote this often. As we know, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how our faith comes. It can come no other way. And now in 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul, the inspired apostle, is encouraging the young evangelist Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, knowing that we're under the law of Christ, not under the law of Moses or the patriarchal law. We study the Old Testament, but we're not under that covenant. No, we're under the law of Christ, a better covenant. And let's remember that. So we must study diligently to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, notice this. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now that's dealing with our question, isn't it? What does it mean to know God? Well, of course, it means we have to have knowledge of God's will through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. To know God requires knowledge. And we need to be getting that knowledge from the Word of God. And so I want us now to ask, how does one resist the Holy Spirit? As we mentioned earlier, you know, some people believe God has given them miraculous knowledge and a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Well, notice, again, as we asked, how does one resist the Holy Spirit? Look at Acts 7:51. Stephen accused of the Sanhedrin court of doing this very, very thing. As we note now, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that is. As your fathers did, so do ye. So how were they resisting the Holy Spirit? By resisting the Word of God, coming through the prophets in the Old Testament, and the law that Moses, by inspiration, had penned. And so they were not accepting it. You see, that's how they resisted the Holy Spirit. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21. That's how they were resisting the Holy Spirit. So notice that the mind and hearing are involved in resisting the Holy Spirit. If we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, notice verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Well, again, we need to know the truth, don't we? And we understand the Spirit speaketh expressively what's going to happen some years later after this was written by the inspired Apostle Paul. Some are going to depart from the faith, the true church. They're going to start another church, which is not the true church. And you can see the identifying marks of this departure. They're going to forbid marriage. Who did that? Commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received. Who did that? Well, everybody should know. The Catholic Church that formed, you see, coming out of the true church, yes, that's what happened. But our point is here, the Spirit is speaking this. So this is, again, as the mind and hearing are involved in resisting the Holy Spirit. Look at Revelation chapter 2, as Jesus was speaking to the seven churches of Asia, chapter 2 and chapter 3 as well. And after each letter, what did he say? The Spirit speaketh expressively. Or, hear the Spirit and heed it. Let's go now to Revelation chapter 2, and you'll see this. As we go to verse 7 of chapter 2 and of Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So take heed. The Spirit is speaking expressively, and you need to hear him through the Word. And you go through Revelation 2, verse 7, verse 11, 17, 29, chapter 3, 6, 13, and 22. That's how the letters ended. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Are we listening to what the Holy Spirit saith through the Scriptures? So to resist the Word of God is to resist the Holy Spirit. That's the conclusion we should come to. 1 Corinthians 10:13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth. Notice, man's wisdom is teaching some things, but it's not correct. We need to pay attention, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. In the King James, the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Did we note that? You see, that's what we need to pay attention to. The words, not from which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. But let's go on in our study as we're answering the question, what does it mean to know God? Well, it means to know God, of course, would require turning. If we're going to really know God, we've got to turn from our sins and change our direction in life. And the sooner we do that, the better. To know God requires turning. Look at Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We can't do it. The sooner we turn to God and allow him to direct our steps as we're accountable, the sooner the better. And again, you can see in 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Scriptures. The sooner the better. Okay, if we go to Israel as an example, what happened to the 10 northern tribes? They all, well, the kings they had, all of them were evil, bad kings. Jehu was used by God in cleaning out Ahaz's house, hold. But other than that, and then he later became evil, they were all bad. And so they wouldn't give up their evil doings and turn to God. And in Hosea 5:4, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know God. Because of their evil doings, they wouldn't turn to God. Now, here's an example of the brethren in Thessalonica. On the other hand, this is a positive example, as Paul commends them. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." You see, man can have a belief in God and accept the word of God as truth, but unless he turns away from a sinful life and is ready to do God's will, he will be lost in his sins. We better know that. We must realize that we are lost in our sins and are unable to save ourselves, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Since only God can provide salvation, John 3:16, we must turn to God and submit to his will. "Repent ye therefore and turn again," Acts 3:19, the American Standard Version. And of course, Jesus, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal life unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:8 and 9. We cannot be ashamed of Christ, as were the some of the chief rulers. Notice John 12:42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Now, note this, all of us. Godly sorrow, it does what? What does godly sorrow do? What does it do? It leads to repentance, which is turning from sin to do God's will. 2 Corinthians 7:10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Like Judas, he was sorry. He went out and hung himself. He had the wrong kind of sorrow. But let's go on in our study as we're answering the question, what does it mean to know God? To know God requires knowledge of the truth. To know God requires turning from our sins. And to know God requires fully trusting God and obeying his will continually. Not just once. Obedience has always been required by God, and we know God is just. We should know that. And his justice demands punishment to those who disobey God. Let's be sure we understand that. Adam and Eve were given one negative command. They were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. But you can see in Genesis 2:16-17, they disobeyed God, and they were cast out of paradise. They died immediately spiritually, and they died later physically because of disobeying God. Now, here's some examples of failing to obey God in the history of Israel. The first one we'll look at is Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus 10:1-2. They were destroyed by fire. Why? Because they offered strange fire, which God commanded them not. They disobeyed God, and they were the sons of Aaron. Now, here's the second example. Moses was denied entrance to the promised land because of his disobedience to God's command. Numbers 20:7-12. God said, "Speak to the rock," and Moses struck it. Now, one might say, well, that's not a big deal. Well, it is. If God said to speak, it's a big deal. It's not a little matter. To do otherwise is disobeying God, and Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. He got to see it from the top of the mount, and then God buried him as he died. The third example, as Israel and Judah were taken into captivity, why? Because of their unfaithfulness to God. Yes, they didn't submit to God's will. 2 Kings 18, 9-12, chapter 24, 11-16, Jeremiah 25, 2-11, you can study. So, God's justice demands doing His will or being punished. Behold the goodness and the severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off, Romans 11:22. And study 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-9. That shows us we will be punished if we don't do the will of God, if we don't obey the gospel and remain faithful. See what's going to happen according to the scriptures. So we must keep on obeying God's will after we are baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Notice 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. And certainly in Romans 12:1-2, you'll want to study that. We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, but not being conformed to the world. Be faithful even unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, Jesus said in Revelation 2:10. So can we fully trust and know God if we fail to submit to His will? Of course not. 1 John 2:3-4 definitely relate to our question this morning. What does it mean to know God? Notice, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So as we close out our study this morning, do we really know God? And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Do we study God's Word every day? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Have we turned to God? Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, saith, or my ways, our ways, my ways, saith the Lord. As that's Isaiah 55:6-8. Are we fully trusting God and obeying His will continually? As many scriptures show us, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel if you have not done so. We need to hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of our sins, making that change of wills, and then the good confession is made unto salvation, and then we're baptized for the remission of our sins. And we thank you so much for listening today.